A lot of people have a false sense of faith where you're like, I trust in God, but there is no action behind your trust. And that shows that your faith is not genuine in the first place.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy Clarence, and I'm not doing Proverbs right now. He's not.
This is the More Purpose Podcast. It's where we talk everything from faith to finances. Look, you've been doing Proverbs for so long now, you'd have forgot the intro. Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast. I'm your co-host, Marlon.
I'm your host, Clarence.
You feel me?
And we are back with another episode.
It has been a few weeks, though.
It's been a minute. Let me tell you something. And we've been on a roll with Proverbs. So that's crazy. Muscle memory.
Yeah.
True.
I hope y'all been enjoying Proverbs, because my boy, you see his muscle memory. So. He's been putting in work day by day, 31 chapters, right?
Yeah, it's 31.
31 chapters, 31 days.
We're on day 20 right now.
On day 20, if you don't even know what we're talking about, go to the YouTube page, go to the upload screen. CL has been walking through the book of Proverbs written by King Solomon, and it's been a blessing to all of us. So if you're behind, that's completely fine. Go back and catch up. It's been a blessing.
Yeah, so, and I apologize for those that were looking for those episodes on Spotify Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. They're strictly on YouTube because we made like a playlist and everything, so they don't have like the audios.
Got you.
Because the point of the video is for you to be able to see the verses and everything while actually reading along and everything to help people to read the chapter of the day. But yeah, if you haven't watched that, go watch that.
Yeah.
Please and thank you. I appreciate the support.
Yes, sir.
And let's get to this episode, my boy.
Let's do it. That's my first. I did the intro today. That was you see.
That was authentic. We're going to keep that in there.
For sure. Because we're not letting this moment pass by. This is once in a lifetime. You feel me?
Well, we have a special episode for y'all today. Yeah. For y'all that wasn't able to attend, we had talked about this lightly on Bible study, on the last Bible study we had here at the studio. And today we want to talk about it again because we realized that this particular chapter in the Bible is really, in a way, like a blueprint, a way of what it means to become unrecognizable. So today we'll be coming from John chapter 5. So this will be more like a Bible study. So please pull out your Bibles. Please get ready to read with us. You know what I'm saying? We're reading from John chapter 5. What version are you reading from?
I have the CSB.
Marlon has a CSB version. I'm reading from the NLT version. So please pull your Bible out and we can get right to it. You know what I'm saying? The title says Jesus Heals a Lame Man. And it's only 15 verses, so it's not going to be that long. So yeah, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, babe. You want me to read or you want to read?
It's up to you. You want me to read?
Yeah, you a lot.
Okay. I'm reading from the CSB version. John chapter 5. I'm actually going to read on my iPad because...
Your pad eye.
All right. John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, after this, a Jewish festival took place and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. By the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Aramaic, which has five colonnades. Verse 3, within these lay a large number of the disabled, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Verse 5, one man was there who had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and realized he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? Verse 7, sir, the disabled man answered, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me. Verse 8, get up, Jesus told him, pick up your mat and walk. Instantly, the man got well, picking up his mat and started to walk. Now, that day was the Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, this is the Sabbath. The law prohibits you from picking up your mat. Verse 11, he replied, the man who made me well told me, pick up your mat and walk. Who is this man who told you, pick up your mat and walk, they asked. Verse 13, but the man who was healed did not know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well, so don't go sinning anymore, so that something worse does not happen to you. And then verse 15, the man went and reported to the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. This is John chapter 5. This is the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. First, before we even get started, I want to point out something that I pointed out in Bible study. I want to go back to verse 7. And we're going to be doing this like kind of like a Bible study. So you should have your Bible out. Like we always say, this podcast is not your main course meal. This is not your main course meal. This is dessert. This is a privilege. This is a side.
Mm-hmm.
The word is your main course meal. So on today, we want you to pull your Bibles out. You should have your Bibles out every podcast. But want you pull it out and walk with us. So go to verse 7. It says, sir, the sir, the disabled man answered, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. but while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me. I want to point out this verse because if you look in your Bible, if you do not have the King James Version, your Bible skips. It skips a verse 4. Does your Bible skip a verse 4?
Yeah, it skips a verse 4.
That's if you look crazy. At your Bible right That's now, crazy. If you're not reading, if you're reading in any other version but the King James Version, you don't have verse 4. It goes from verse 3 and it goes to verse 5. So
the AMP, however, has it.
Oh, AMP has it. Okay. AMP my bad, it. AMP. My right, bad. Yeah. Y'all have it. Right? But in verse 7, again, Jesus asked the man in verse 6, he said, do you want to be well? Verse 7, the man says, he didn't answer whether he wanted to be well or not. He says, I have nobody to put me in the pool while the water is being stirred up. Okay, so why did I point this out? If you have a device, I want you to go to the King James Version. And I'm slow walking it because this is going to help with the context of the actual story. Mm-hmm. So if you change to the King James Version, go to the same chapter. I want you to look at verse 3. King James Version, John chapter 5, verse 3. Verse 3 says, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind folk, halt folk, withered folk, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, verse 4, this is verse 4, the verse that is not in most of our Bibles. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So verse 4 is removed from a lot of the translations that we have.
Yeah.
Modern day commentaries and theologians don't know if this was real or if this was a myth or not. So they removed it out. But the people in this time believed that around a certain season, an angel went down into the pool of Bethesda, stirred up the water, and then the first person that entered into the water was then healed. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to give that context in the aspect of this story. So now when you hear this man, after Jesus has asked him, do you want to be well or do you want to be whole? When he says, I have nobody to put me in the water when the water is stirred, that's what he means. Because somebody is now getting in the water before him. And their belief was, if you was not the first person to get in the water, you were not healed.
Yeah.
So I just want to give the backstory and give the context on that real quick.
Nah, I love the context, my boy.
Yeah.
All right, so let's read verse 3 through 9 again real quick. I'm reading from the NLT version just to give background again before we get right into it. So verse 3 in my NLT version says, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Excuse me. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Verse 7, I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. So, starting with verse 3, where it says, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. Meaning, crowds of people that's all familiar, all alike in some type of way, are all gathered together in one area, right? Mm-hmm. They're all familiar with each other. They all look alike, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They all have something wrong or something that's keeping them in bondage in a way. And they're all gathering up together. You know the saying, the birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
So basically the same thing. And I love that it gives us the details of the different types of like things that's going on with each different person, but how they're still all grouped up together because they're all lame in some type of way. Mm-hmm. So then when it says, verse 5, where it says, one of them lying there had been sick for 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Mm-hmm. So most people, if you're like me, if I've been sick for 38 years.
What do you think I want to do?
And I'm here at this pool that so-called does miracles.
It heals, yeah.
The pool's supposed to heal. Mm-hmm. I'm here at the pool. You see me here at the pool.
Yeah.
I'm laying here. If you ask me this question, I'm going to get mad. I'm not going to lie to you.
Jesus, don't PMO, bro.
come on, bro. JC.
No.
Like, be for real. There's no way you just ask me that.
Yeah.
Clearly, I want to be healed.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'm here for a reason. Clearly, I have some type of faith that if I get in this water, I'll be good. I'll be able to stand up and walk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But Jesus doesn't care about none of that.
Yeah.
He asked me the simple question, would you like to get well?
Yeah.
Verse 7, the man says, I can't, sir. Mm. So he basically responds in a way that's basically saying, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I would love to. I would have been tried. I've been here for 38 years now. Like, I would have been tried to get well. I've tried year after year. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to work. It's not working for me. Mm-hmm. So then when he says, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me, is because this man is lame.
Yeah.
So this man, he physically can't, like, get up and walk and run to the pool like how someone else may be able to.
Yeah.
He has to, like, rely on someone else to help him get to the pool because he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
So I love how Jesus, like, I feel like Jesus is petty, but at the same time, it's like it's setting you up for you to declare that you need help yourself.
And I think it also, it pointed out what was in his heart. Because he asked him, do you want to be well? And like we said, he's at a place where if I'm here, you would assume I want to be well. But if you read his response in verse 7, it's an excuse. He blamed other people. You know what I mean? So I think it was just a moment as well to see what was in his heart as well. And then going back even, go back to verse 2, we said, by the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Aramaic. And in Aramaic, Bethesda just means the house of mercy, right? So there's all these people that are coming with different problems, with different challenges, with different addictions, with different strongholds, with all these different things. And that sounds like, you know, that sounds like the church of God. Yeah. We talked about that in Bible study where the church is the house of mercy, where people come in with different sicknesses. And you would think just because somebody's at the church, they want to be well.
Yeah.
When we all know that that's not the case. You can be in the house of mercy. You can be in the place of healing. You can be so close to Jesus and still not want to be well or still not want to be better. So I think Jesus asking him this question was very like, it was very intentional because we know God is sovereign. So he knows all. He knows whether you want to be well or not, right?
And that's actually crazy if you think about it. Because like, if you, if you're in that area, if you're in that environment, it's, you have every right to make that assumption. But at the same time, it's good like to ask because like you can be saying that, but then you really are just comfortable with where you're at.
That's good. I'm glad you said that because he was sick for 38 years.
Yeah.
Let's not just run past the story. Cause I know a lot of times we read the Bible and we just run past the details. The Bible, no detail is wasted. So if it's telling you he was lame for 38 years, you have to picture that now. This is a man, you're paralyzed. 38 years of your life. You will make that your identity.
Yes. There's something wrong with me. Or now that's me. I'm known for not being able to move.
Exactly. And if you ask me, your faith will be lacking.
Yes.
I'm not saying you don't have faith, but if I've been lame for this long, somewhere down the line, my faith will be decreasing. Because it says he was lame for 38 years. It doesn't say he was here for 38 years.
Exactly.
So we don't know how many options he has tried. He's tried he could have tried every medicine, every doctor, every solution, everything that they say has healed, but he's been lame for 38 years. So now we see that when you've been stuck in a situation for so long, this can become your identity. This can could become somewhere that you make a present state. It could become a jail in your mind, per se.
And that's really crazy if you think about it. Because where it says, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me. Verse 8, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. So again, perspective. Like once again, if you've been lame for 38 years, I know what my body feels like. Yeah. I know that I cannot move. I can't move.
Yeah.
So for you to tell me to stand up, pick up your mat and walk, that means I have to have at least a mustard seed of faith to believe that if I respond off your command, that something may happen.
Yeah.
So it takes for him. Think about all the times. Think about how well you feel like you know yourself. And for someone to come and tell you to do something that you tried for 38 years on your own will.
Yeah.
And you try it and it don't work. You know how much more faith you have to try it one more time just because someone else asked you to do it?
But wait, because he tried other things. He never tried Jesus.
Hello.
So now I'm reading it now, not because we've read it multiple times, but now I see the picture of salvation in it. Think about salvation, right? This man's been lame for 38 years. Lame, whatever that may mean, right? He's lame for 38 years, stuck, paralyzed in a predicament, paralyzed in a situation. His faith is in different sources. His faith is in different things that he thinks can bring him healing.
Yeah.
Jesus comes and Jesus says, hey, just pick up your mat and walk. My faith has been, if I can just get in the pool, I can be good.
Yeah.
That has gotten me nowhere. My way has got me nowhere. Somebody look gets out in the water before me every single time. I've been sitting here. We talk about Bible study. They know me by now.
Yeah.
You the man near the pool. You have a reputation.
Yes.
Your reputation now is the man that you sit near the pool, hoping one day I can be healed. This man comes.
That's your identity.
It's your identity. Now this man comes who is Jesus, who he does not know is Jesus at the moment. A man comes and basically saying to you, you don't have to get in the pool, the thing I put my faith in. Yo, just get up and walk.
Like, bro, again, let's not fly past this. Imagine me laying down for 38 years, being lame for 38 years, and you walk up to me and say, get up.
38 years.
38 years, and you come to me and say, pick up your mat and walk.
He don't even have the muscle memory to do so.
Do you think I have not tried that?
Yeah.
But the faith it takes for you to still try is why I feel like led to his miracle happening because he still had that faith to trust in Jesus when Jesus commanded him to do so. So then when it says, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. It didn't take no extra long hour of healing. No, instantly he got up and he was able to walk, which is insane.
Ooh, because I just thought about it. Because I love that the verse says he was healed.
Yeah.
Then he picked up his mat and walked.
Hello.
So we see the supernatural power of Jesus at work, but we also see the method of our faith resulting in works at work. And I'm not talking about works in regards to salvation. No, we're saved by grace and by faith. Yeah. We're not saved by works at all. But I'm saying your true faith is shown by works. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead. That's what it says in James. He was healed. I had to believe that I was healed now in order to walk.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason I brought this up is because a lot of people have a false sense of faith. Well, you're like, I trust in God, but there is no action behind your trust. And that shows that your faith is not genuine in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? So he was healed. He believed he was healed. And then he got up and walked. And I feel like it's a lot of times it's like that at church as well. And we talked about how, like, you know, some people, like, they get upset when you go to the altar, you get prayed for, and you're like, you know, I've been freed from this thing. I've been healed from this thing. And not realizing that Monday through Saturday, you now have an obligation. You now have a responsibility to walk that thing out by faith now.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that was you going to the altar and confessing, you going to the altar and getting your breakthrough. Mm-hmm. You grabbed that by faith that Jesus did a work.
Exactly.
Now by faith, I'm going to get up and walk. And act like, yes, what Jesus said did happen. This is true. This is his word.
And I feel like that'd be the problem in church. So it's like you'll have, or just people in general, whenever they get delivered by something.
Because
a lot of people will say, I've been delivered from this.
Yes.
But they don't put the necessary works
to
stay in that new light that God has let you be in. Because they've heard the saying of what I've said all the time about God will free us from shackles and we'll willingly put them back on.
Yes.
But it's because we're not doing the necessary works to stay out of the shackles.
Mm-hmm.
God freed you. Now it's your job to leave the cell.
Yes.
It's your job to walk out. He unlocked the door.
Yeah. Is it sitting
walk
open?
Out.
Yeah.
Leave. It's that simple.
Yeah.
He opened the door for you, but you're still sitting in the cell. Like, as if like you're still locked in there. No. You have the freedom to walk out. You have to walk out. You have to have the faith to walk. You have to have the faith to know if the door's unlocked now.
That's so good. And not even just, you don't even just have the freedom. You have the freedom and you have the power to do so now.
Yes.
So it ain't like you just free and you still can't do it. Because you can be free and still not feel like you can do something.
Yeah.
But you've been freed and you have the power to be able to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was good. That was good.
Nice OD. And then verse 9 says, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. Then it goes to verse 11. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Verse 12, he says such a thing as that. Verse 12. Who said such a thing as that? They've demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now that you are well, so stop sending. I said sending. Sending.
Yeah.
Now you are well, so stop sending. Or something even worse may happen to you. Implying that his sin is what got him lame in the first place. That's crazy.
And I was reading this and I'm like, you know, what could his sin have been?
Yeah.
And again, I thought about it in the aspect of salvation. What if his sin was just unbelief?
I don't know.
Because we read this and we're like, was it sexual immorality?
We don't know.
Was it jealousy? Was it murder? It's so many sins out there, right? It's so many different things that he could have done that could have made him this way.
That's
but
crazy.
Look at it again. Look at it in the aspect of salvation. I'm one way.
Mm-hmm.
I get an encounter with a man named Jesus. Mm-hmm. I get an encounter with a man named Jesus. I change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a whole new man. I'm doing something new. And now he tells me, hey, like, don't sin again.
Yeah.
But it's like, what sin could he have possibly committed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, unbelief. It could have been unbelief. That's just one of my guesses.
Sin could have
been unbelief that got him in the predicament in general. Because he was sitting, he made this state his home when he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you encounter Jesus, everything changes.
Hello.
How many people are in the world that make something their identity? They make their sin their identity. They make their addiction their identity. They make their adultery their identity, not knowing that there's a way out. So this man, he probably feels like he's ran out of options. And there's somebody out there in the world that you feel like you've run out of options,
But Jesus is like, no, when you encounter me, like, no, you don't, like, you're trusting in a man-made way. No, I can free you from that immediately. Like, no, pick up, like, how bad do you want to be well? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I feel like the sin was unbelief.
That's actually crazy to think
about. Yeah.
Because your unbelief can hinder you from even
moving.
Yeah, from even moving.
You live
you'll be paralyzed.
I'm about to say, exactly. You live a quote unquote a paralyzed life because of unbelief.
That's crazy.
I've seen it in my own life. Because of my unbelief, I would be stuck in one position. And this is the cool thing that I figured out about this passage. 38 years he was lame. 38 years he was paralyzed. This is the same amount of time that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness.
Huh.
Man's lame. Man's is lame, right? Your man's is lame. Man's is lame. 38 years. Paralyzed, right? Stuck in a spot that's supposed to be temporary, made it his home, right? The Israelites, 38 years in a temporary place. This is supposed to be a waiting room, but you made it your home. You made your permanent place.
You got too comfortable.
You got way too comfortable. And I'm like, yo, what's the odds of that?
So do you think the sin was comfort?
Comfort could be unbelief, though.
Comfort can be unbelief. Yeah. Yeah, I think it pairs up nicely because
you're
willingly being stagnant.
Yes, and you're fine with being comfortable because honestly, the root of comfort is the unbelief.
Yes.
You don't believe you can go farther, so you're comfortable with where you are at. So yeah, I don't know. That's just what I think. I think it could be unbelief. It could be wrong. He could have had a different sin. But it's, I love that you can look at different passages like this and see the work of salvation in every single passage. Like, a man is one way, encounters Jesus, and it's turned into a whole new creation. Like, this is the redemptive story of Jesus. He was trusting in one way. He thought righteousness can come this way. Mm-hmm. He thought healing can come this way. You thought this can make you right. You thought this can heal you. You thought this can help you overcome addiction. You meet Jesus. You meet a man named Jesus. He overrides the whole religious aspect, the tradition, all of that. He overrides man's rules. He's like, nah, bro, just pick up your mat and walk. Like, just have faith.
That's actually crazy.
Saved by faith.
And now I think about it. Jesus really gives a three-step plan on how this man really became unrecognizable. Because, like we said, verse 3, it says, crowds of sick people.
Mm.
So think about our generation. Crowds of people that's all doing the same thing, or all look alike, all sound alike.
Mm-hmm.
The same community.
Yeah.
Right? They're all in the same environment, same place. Crowds of them. So everybody's familiar with each other. Everybody knows who's around. It's probably to the point where I know exactly who you are. I know you by your identity. Like you said, that's the lame man that sits on the side of near the pool. That's the lame man that sits beside the pool.
I know you by what keeps you bound. Think about it. Like you said, this is the lame man that sits beside the pool.
Yeah.
All the rest of them have identities too.
Your
identity
is what keeps you bound.
That's the blind man.
Yeah.
That's the so-and-so man. Mm-hmm. So everything is like, it's not their names.
Yeah.
It's by the thing that has them in this one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, right? If all of them know him by his bondage, if all of them know him by what they can see in a physical stance of, I see him all the time sitting on the side of the pool, but he can never move.
Yeah.
He's paralyzed. That's his identity now.
Yeah.
It takes for Jesus to come, enter his life, have him have the faith to stand up, pick up his mat and walk, which is verse 8. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Now, put in perspective, if you was a person that was across from the pool that sees this man that you've seen for however long near this pool that's been lame, get up and start walking. Now I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
How are you walking?
Yeah.
Because I know you for what you was bonded to.
Mm.
Like, what was keeping you held bonded?
Yeah.
Now that you're getting up and walking, I don't recognize you.
Yeah.
There's something different about you.
Definitely.
There's something that's different about you. How did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Who did you meet?
Yeah.
Who did you talk to? Who helped you get to this? Who helped you get to this stage?
Because you didn't get in the pool.
You didn't. I watched. I never seen you get in the pool.
Yeah.
So how are you able to do this? If I know you for you've been over here for this long, and you didn't touch the water,
man.
Something's different about you. So that means I need to figure out what helped you change. What helped you have a miracle in your life? What helped you become unrecognizable? Because the three-step plan here. Look, check it out. Verse 8 again, Jesus told him, stand up, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up your mat, 2. Walk.
Mm.
So imagine in practical terms, if this is our three-stage breakdown. If Jesus comes into our life, we pray, we go to the altar, we give Jesus everything, be like, all right, God, listen, everything that's not like you, take it away. Take it out of my mouth, whatever it is. You stand up from that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You have faith that you're free.
Yeah.
Right? You stand for the prayer. You have faith that you're free. You pick up your cross.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run. Yeah. You pick up your cross. Mm. Meaning, I'm going to carry my cross. I'm going to live this lifestyle of discipleship. I'm going to be a disciple of Christ now. Mm. And you start walking. You leave the environment that held you bound in the first place.
Yeah.
You leave the people that have been keeping you in that sin.
Yeah.
You leave the household that's been keeping you in that sin. Mm-hmm. You leave the environment that's been pushing you or tempting you into falling into the same thing or to believing that you're bound when you're really not. Imagine how everybody else would look at you mm-hmm. That doesn't have the same faith as you to be able to leave the environment.
Yeah.
To pick up their stuff and walk. Mm-hmm. To let go of their sin. To stop smoking. To stop drinking. To stop lying. Mm-hmm. To stop being jealous. To stop holding anger with people. You know what I'm saying? Imagine people how they would look. If they know you your whole life, you always been angry. I know Marlon for being a hothead.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Marlon turned the other cheek. What's going on? Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Marlon. It's not him. Mm-hmm. He had to meet somebody that helped him become this way.
Yeah.
Because now I don't recognize you. I know you for being angry, but now Marlon's sweet lamb.
That's like, crazy.
Like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's how beautiful and simple it is at the same time because, like we said, to make it simple is faith works in, like, common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, I believe Jesus freed me.
Yeah.
Works. Now I need to show Jesus that I believe that he freed me. I'm going to actually put the works behind walking in the mindset of I'm free.
Yeah.
Common sense. I don't need to be around those people, that environment, or around the different things that held me bound in the first place.
Now I want to kind of tap into that because he's healed. Jesus tells him to leave or walk.
Yeah,
meaning he had to leave the place where he has been, the place where they know him at, and mm-hmm. different things like that. I want to kind of tap into that because he has to leave.
Yes,
because now that I'm thinking about it, when you become unrecognizable, we don't even relate no more. Let's think. Okay,
come
let's,
on now.
Let's so think about let's it.
Break it down.
A lame man. I'm lame for 38 years. I am now healed. What do I have in common with y'all? Because y'all are sitting here waiting. Y'all are waiting for something. Y'all are waiting for something that is actually not going to come. Y'all are waiting for something that's not going to happen. Y'all are sitting there waiting. It's like, yo, I done already been healed. I don't relate to y'all anymore because y'all would just be sitting there and y'all will make that your identity. Y'all will make what y'all are in right now your comfort zone. Y'all will settle. You're going to settle for the wilderness as your identity. You're going to settle for the wilderness instead of the promise. And he's like, yo, like if he was to stay around them, he would have to shrink back.
Yeah.
His mindset wouldn't even be the same if he was just to still stay around him. So like it don't even
he'll take on the identity
of them and he's already been healed.
Yes. Yeah, come on now.
Goodness.
My Lord.
You already if he stayed around them, you've already been healed, but you're still living like a bound man. Because the people you're still living like a bound man because of the people you're around. But you've been healed.
You're keeping yourself in the cell that when the door's unlocked.
Goodness.
Like, the door's unlocked. Walk out the cell.
Yeah.
Like, leave, please. But that's crazy because that's why your environment's important.
Yeah.
If you stay around an environment long enough, you'll take on the identity of what the environment is placing over you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to change your identity until you leave that environment.
Yeah.
If Jesus tells you to get up, pick up your mat, and walk, and whatever facet of life that you're in,
mm-hmm.
you need to get up, pick up your mat, and walk.
Yeah.
Because where he's telling you to... Again, he's telling him to walk, meaning leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, walk away.
Yeah.
Like, leave the old behind. Mm-hmm. If we want to pair back into Genesis and Lot's wife, don't look back.
Yeah.
Like, look forward. Like, keep walking forward. Because if you look back, you'll catch yourself attaching that old identity to your new way of life.
Yeah.
It doesn't match.
Mm-mm.
Same thing I said before about what Holy Spirit gave me about how in Colossians it tells us to put on God's wardrobe.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit, he convicted me because he said... Stop putting sin on a hanger so that you can come back and wear it. And I was like, hold on. Like, leave me alone, first of all, brother. let's calm down.
Yeah.
But I love that because a lot of times we'll be free from something. Mm-hmm. We'll hang it up. But you're hanging it up on a hanger to where you can... A hanger's use is for you to hang clothes up that you intend to wear again.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm hanging sin up temporarily just so I can come back and put it on again.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm stressed, anytime I'm sad, anytime I'm depressed, anytime I'm angry, I can come back and grab that sin and put it back on because that's the void I use to fill this void.
It's comfortable.
That's the thing I use. It's comfortable. I know how this feels. I use it to try to fill this void.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, Jesus is not, he's not saying, he ain't heal him and say, all right, lay back down.
Yeah.
No, pick up your mat. Meaning, pick up your mat off where you was at.
Mm-hmm.
Leave this area.
Yeah.
Walk away. Take all your belongings and move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leave. You cannot, bro, you cannot afford to ask God for healing.
Yeah.
And then still try to stay in the same spot that you just got healed from.
Yeah.
Because now did you really have faith in the first place? Mm-hmm. Did you really have faith that he would do it if you were willing to stay where he freed you from?
Yeah.
Which is insane to think about.
It is.
I told the think about, again, the jail cell aspect. Mm-hmm. I told the correction officer, unlock the door.
Yeah.
I watch him unlock the door.
And I sit there.
And I still sit there, yeah, as if I'm locked in here.
Yeah.
What? But we willingly do that. Yeah, we willingly do it. Yeah. I tell him, take the cuffs off me. I'm at the table. We ain't getting interrogated. My cuffs is off. Mm-hmm. But I'm still sitting here with my hands like this.
Yeah.
The cuffs have been off. Hands still like this. For what?
And that's what the devil wants to do, though. Like, that's one of his main tactics. Mm-hmm. Because if you actually look at it on a grand aspect, your freedom has already been bought. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of, have you been freed or not? You've been freed, but do you believe you're free? Mm-hmm. So what the devil wants to do is, with these things that you are struggling with these different things that are, mm-hmm, quote-unquote strongholds and addictions, he wants you to feel like this is your identity.
Yeah.
You will never be free. Because you got to think about, mm-hmm, it. The devil is a master manipulator. He knows you've already been freed.
Facts.
But if I can get you to think you're not free, if I can get you to think, mm-hmm, the door is locked when the door is actually open,
yeah,
you will sit here. That door's been open the whole time. You will sit here for 38 years and make and stay there and make your home here in a place where the door, you could have been left. So I want people to be aware of that as well, is that's one of the enemy's main tools, is he wants you to be bound in your mind for you to think the same, mm-hmm, thing that you're struggling with, you're going to forever be struggling with. No, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right?
Yeah.
Christ came and died for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Christ died for freedom. That's literally what it says in Romans. He literally died for freedom. Christ died, mm-hmm, right? He came so that we may be free. So you're already free, but how much do you believe that you are free?
Yeah.
Right? And I want to kind of want to go in that aspect as well, because going back to the verse where he asked the man, you know, do you want to be well? It's because I want to kind of touch on this before we get out of here. I want to touch on the fact that a lot of people put up different excuses and different things that, yeah, enable them and make them feel, mm-hmm, better about the situation that they're in.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, there's certain things that may have happened to you that may actually be valid. You may have been hurt by your parents. You may have been hurt by your siblings. You may have been hurt by a loved one, hurt in your marriage, hurt by a friend. Somebody has wounded you. Somebody has betrayed you. And that all may be true, but your healing is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to kind of tap into that as well, because I know a lot of people that make their hurt, they make that their identity as well.
Yeah.
They allow that to enable them. And I feel like God is asking you the question today, like, do you want to be well? The first thing the man answered was, I have no one to put me in the pool. Mm-hmm. He didn't even answer the question. No, yeah. I didn't ask you what anybody else was doing. I said, do you want to be well? Because if you want to be well, today can be your day. Yeah. Not about somebody can put me in. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of you that you may be waiting on an apology. Yep. You're waiting on somebody to come back and say something to you. You're waiting for somebody to make it right. And God is like, you know, that may never happen. How bad do you want to be well? Because your, mm-hmm, healing is up to you. And as long as Jesus is in your life, healing can be yours right in this moment.
Facts.
But how bad do you want to be well? God is asking you that today. And you may be like, well, God, of course I want to be well. But God is like, no, I'm asking you because in your heart, you really don't want to be well. Mm-hmm. You like being the one that struggles with unforgiveness. Yeah. You like being the one that struggles with resentment. You like being the angry one. You like being you like feeling rejected, you know? And I feel like God shows me these same things. He's like, no, you use that as a coping mechanism, because now when life goes wrong, now you can say it was because so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
It was because my parents got a divorce. It was because, yeah, this happened. It's because this person my father abandoned me. It's because, mm-hmm, my mother never wanted to be in my life. And you, mm-hmm, use all these different things, and that may have happened. And it may be true. I'm not even discarding your pain. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is, like, it happened.
Yeah.
Now you have the responsibility of, do I want to heal from this, mm-hmm, or do I want to allow this to handicap me?
Hello.
And so God is asking you today as well, do you want to be well? Like, it may not be no sin. It may not be nothing like that. But it may be hurt and trauma, unforgiveness in your heart, that God cannot even allow you to move on. You're living in a spiritual stagnant place, yeah, a spiritual paralyzed place, because these things that are going on in your heart. Mm-hmm. And God is like, yo, if you only knew who I was, mm-hmm, I can take it away from you.
Facts.
I can heal you from that. I can deliver you from that. I can save you from that. And it could be as if it never happened. And actually, I can heal it in a way to where now you can go minister to people who have been through the same thing as you have been, mm-hmm, through. And now that same thing that has hurt you, that same thing that was now painful, is now purposeful.
That was good. Boy.
So yeah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just wanted to say that as well because, you know, I feel like a lot of times we don't want to be well.
Yeah.
Because I know we read this and we're talking about the man, and we're talking about the man in the pool, but think about our own lives where God's like, you know, do you even want to be well? And I feel God asking me that question all the time. Like, you know, do you really want to be well?
I know you get so comfortable with it. Like,
I know you come to church.
Yeah.
I know you go to the prayer night. Mm-hmm. I know you worship. I know you do this. I know you do that. But do you want to be well? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because just doing these things does not equate to you wanting to be well. Because you could have made these things. They could be so engrafted into your identity to where you don't even know.
Yeah, that you walk around lame.
You don't even know that you're lame. 38 years. This is normal.
Yeah, like this is not nothing out of
the normal.
There's nothing wrong with me.
There's nothing.
This how I am.
I sit in the same exact spot. Yeah. I come to this exact pool. This is my seat. This is my assigned seat.
38 years. This is my identity now.
There's nothing weird about this.
Yeah. This is normal. Yeah,
now
this,
a man comes by is like, yo. Now, a man's looking at you like, no, this is weird.
Yeah, like you're not supposed to be in this predicament.
You're not supposed to be in this posture. So yeah. I just want, you know, how bad do you want to be well?
You know, it's crazy, though, because I love the blueprint of this verse right here because it shows how we should operate and how we shouldn't operate. Because how I said about we hang sin up on a hanger so we can come back to it, or how a lot of people will be free but will put the shackles back on.
Yeah.
I love how the lame man did not go back to the pool. So let's start from verse 10. Verse 9. Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." Verse 11. But he replied, "The man who healed me told me pick up my mat and walk. Who said such a thing as that?" They demanded. Verse 13. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So verse 13 again. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Jesus found him in the temple. He ain't found him back in the pool.
Yeah, so good.
He ain't find him back out here sinning.
Yeah.
No, I found him in the holy place.
Yeah.
I found him in his secret place. I found him praying. I found him worshiping. I found him praising the Lord.
Yeah.
I found him spreading the good news.
Yeah.
I found him in the temple. So imagine how Jesus felt finding the man in the temple, because now, I think I said this Bible study too, now that Jesus healed the man, I catch you in the temple, I recognize you.
Yeah.
I'm able to spot you out of everybody because I recognize you from the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, though, doesn't recognize you because you was only familiar by the pool.
Yeah.
Now you're a man in the temple. And I was saying imagine if Jesus was at the temple, but the man went back to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jesus come back to the pool, it's like, what you doing?
Yeah.
It's like I already healed you.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of me healing if you was going to go back to what was holding you in body in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
But I love how the man was found in the temple, because I feel like that reassured how much power Jesus actually had in healing him. And like the aspect of how beautiful it is for Jesus to heal you from something.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually put work towards the work that he put into you, and for him to come back around and see you actually still stewarding the blessing, the healing.
Yeah.
A lot of us are asking God for new stuff, but are you stewarding what he has already healed you from?
Mm-hmm.
Are you actually treating it as if it was a blessing?
Yeah.
Or are you treating it as if it was just like something that Jesus brushed off your shoulder, like, oh, yeah, that happened?
Yeah.
Nah, God freed me.
Mm-hmm.
He broke all the chains.
Oh, 38 years, you're going to hear about this.
What? Y'all going to hear me. What?
38 years of bondage?
Y'all are going to hear me.
And being paralyzed?
And I love how... Because imagine if he won in the temple. Would Jesus have been able to give him the warning of, now that you are well, stop sinning?
Yeah.
Would he even have the reconciliation of knowing, all right, this is why I was lame?
Yeah.
Because now if I'm not caught in a temple, if I'm not caught in a prayer posture, I'm back where I got bondage at the first place. I never even knew why I got bondage in the first place. So now I'm falling back into the same comfort because that's the void I'm trying to fill now.
Yeah.
Versus knowing the reason of why I was like that, I know how to stay away from it now.
Yeah.
So I love how Jesus came back and let him know, like, hey, now that you're well, now that you're good and healed, stay away from sin. Like, stop sinning. But he knows what sin he was doing, basically. Like, I feel like when Jesus said that, he knew exactly what sin he was doing that led to that moment. And I know that was probably eye-opening for him, because the same way that God has his own specific relationship with each one of us, if Jesus said it to me, I'm going to know exactly what it is that led to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, dang, I had to stay away from that. All right, cool. That's what helped me in bondage. I'm staying far away from that. But the person that doesn't get that warning or doesn't have that proximity with Jesus, That just blessed me. Hold on.
What?
That proximity with Jesus just blessed me. Because after he's healed, it's the man's job to want to keep following Jesus. Mm-hmm. After he's healed, it's his job to want to know more about Jesus. Yeah. It's his job to want to figure out and learn how he even healed in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It takes faith to keep looking, yeah, to keep seeking every single day. So the fact that he was found in the temple is showing, yeah, it's showing the faith aspect of how much more he wants to know,
yeah,
or how much he wants to thank Jesus for, like, yo, thank you, Lord, for healing me.
That's good.
Because a lot of people will get healed, but then forget about who healed them.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
You got healed and you forget all about the person that even gave you the blessing, yeah, in the first place. It's like, yo, nah, like, come on now.
Yeah.
Remember what we said in the last episode? I'm forever indebted to you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's a life-changing moment for him. 38 years.
38 years of bondage. And it's crazy how in the temple, the teachers of religious law are, instead of being happy for a man that's been bound for 38 years,
talk about it,
they're like, yo, who healed you?
Yeah.
Don't you know it's the Sabbath? Because in that time, in that context, they believed that picking up your mat was work. And on the Sabbath day, there was to be no work done on this day. So instead of being happy for a man that has been laying, instead of being happy for a man that has been bound, that has been addicted, that has been struggling with this same thing, instead of being happy for this man for the change, they're like, you know, why are you doing this on this day? And I pray that we are never like the Pharisees, when people that we were familiar with them in one state of their life, we were familiar with them in one identity of their life, that we don't get too comfortable with them in that state, that when they do receive healing, when they are changed, when they do become unrecognizable, that we become the Pharisees and that we're the people of the people that knew the scriptures and knew the words, but were far away from God and far away from the heart of God. For you was more concerned with the day that this healing happened on than somebody being healed and somebody encountering Jesus, you know? And I pray that we're not like these modern day Pharisees, to where when people come into these churches and when people are changed, and because that's why I said, like, on a grander aspect, it's just so crazy how you can see salvation in this, because you can be bound by something for so long. You can be going through something for so long. Your identity can be in something for so long. You encounter Jesus. He changes your identity and actually changes the place that you live. He switches your position. Yeah. He changes you. He takes you out of one place, switches your whole position from a sinner to just to righteous now. You know what I mean? And there's people that are self-righteous as these Pharisees that believe that they made themselves holy. Yeah. And now when this person gets healed and when this person is changed, now you feel like you look down on them. And now you're like, you know, no, that's the man that was lame for 38 years. And he's like, no, that's not me no more. Yeah. You know? And I just pray that we're not like these people. You know, this is the gospel. This is the good news. Like, it's a verse in the gospels. Jesus says, you know, I didn't come for the people who don't think that they don't need a doctor.
Yeah.
No, I came for the people that know they are sick and they need a doctor.
Know they are sick.
I'm that's the people I came for. I didn't come for the people that you already feel like you're righteous. You already feel like you got it all together. You know how to do church. You know how to do religion. Mm-hmm. You know how to do tradition. You can go to 3 church services. You know how to pray and all of these different things. You know how to sound good when you pray. Jesus, like, you know, I didn't come for those who have it all together, but I came for these people.
Yeah.
I came for the dirty people. I came for the sinful people, the messed up people, you know? So I just pray that we're not like these modern day Pharisees. And I believe that needs to be said, because even in this modern, like, even in this time and in this context where there is revival going on, there will be stories of people who have been encountered with Jesus and have come from drastic testimonies, drastic addictions, drastic things that you may not be able to fathom.
Yeah.
But you have to realize that you were just like them. It may not be the same sickness. It says there was some lame, there was some blind, there was some paralyzed, right? And you may not have the same sickness as them, but we both have the same thing in common.
But you're sick in some type
of way. We all were sick, and we all needed that one healer, which is Jesus Christ. So,
because back to what we said beforehand, you was born infected.
Born infected. Born in sin. You was born in iniquity. You was shaped by it. Like, we was all born into it. We all was born needing a Savior, needing the Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is good.
Yeah.
So, for those that need a practical breakdown, write it down. Verse 8 again, Jesus said, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Faith works wisdom. Faith works wisdom.
Yeah.
If you apply these 3 things to your life, you will start watching yourself on the path of becoming unrecognizable to the world and recognizable to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have the faith that Jesus healed you, that you're set free.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the works to show him, I believe that I'm free.
Yeah.
So putting action towards that faith, showing him that, hey, I'm free and I'm going to act like I'm free.
Yeah.
And then wisdom. Understand that I can't go back to what held me bound in the first place. If you can do these 3 things, these three simple steps, you will start becoming unrecognizable to the world.
So good. And I just want to encourage somebody that, you know, you may have heard this whole thing and you may be dealing with something. You're paralyzed in one area of your life.
Yeah.
You're struggling with this one thing. It may not be sin. It may be depression. It may be anxiety. It may be sin. It may be lust. Mm-hmm. It may be anything that you feel like, you know, you've been going through it so long and you feel like, you know, this is now your identity. Mm-hmm. You feel like that this is now your home. This is now this place. You feel like you're going to die here. You feel like you're going to die in the wilderness. I just want to encourage you that you're not going to die here, that this is not your permanent place, but Jesus can encounter you if you really want to be well. Draw mm-hmm. near to him. And he promises that he will draw near to you. So I just want to let you know to be encouraged that this is not your final, it's not your final destination. You know, this is temporary. And you have to believe that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I just want to encourage you on that. Know that Christ has set you free. And just start getting his word. Start find community. And start worshiping. Get in the presence of God. And just watch things change for you and turn for you.
I'm excited for y'all's journey. I'm excited to see what God does for you in your personal life. And like Marlon just said, like we're excited for y'all just as a whole. Like we believe that if you have the faith, God will meet you right where you are, mm-hmm. right in your bedroom, right in your prayer closet, right in your car.
And I'm sorry, going back, you just saying that is so good because the man didn't come to Jesus.
Talk. Thank you. Yes.
Jesus met the man.
Yes.
Where it said when Jesus saw him.
Where he was at.
When Jesus saw him and realized he'd been there for so long.
Yeah.
So Jesus is saying to you today that you've been in this position for so long and he sees you. This is the word.
Hello.
He sees you where you're at and he can meet you where you're at.
Right there. So we advise you to, after watching this podcast, if you're someone that believes that they are bound, if you have got the realization that you are born infected, that you are sick in some type of way, I advise you to take this podcast, pray, and ask God to reveal to you what your sickness is, what you may be bound to, that you may be oblivious to.
Yeah.
And for him to help free you from it and then give you the blueprint on how to stay free.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, whatever it is, read your word and apply what God gives you to do so that you can become unrecognizable to the world.
Yeah.
And recognizable to him. We're proud of y'all. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe on this video. John 5 is good. Let me tell you something. We only read first 15 verses.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. So I advise y'all to read the whole chapter too. If you enjoy this, read the whole chapter. You know what I'm saying? See what God gives you. And don't just take our word for the Bible again. No. Go read the word for yourself. You know what I'm saying? God might try to reveal something else to you.
Something different. That we totally didn't even get to talk different. On.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what he has meant for you to read or to get from this word, from God's word, because it's a living word. You know what I'm saying? He might give you a whole nother revelation, a whole nother understanding. Another perspective. I'm excited to hear about what perspectives y'all have. So please drop it in the comments as well.
Yeah.
If God does share something else with y'all, or if y'all related to what we was talking about, and God, if you have a life experience that relates to this chapter, please let us know in the comments. We'll love to chat it up with y'all and there. And for those that aren't already in the GroupMe, please join our GroupMe. We have a community full of like-minded individuals that's hungry for Jesus, that's hungry for the word. Hit the little GroupMe link in our bio and make sure you share this episode with someone that may need it, that you believe may be in the same bondage aspect as that you may be in. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want yourself to just be free, but you want your people that's around you as well, that you know that are in bondage, to be free as well. So make sure you're not being selfish with the word. You feel me?
Yeah.
Spread it with somebody. Spread the gospel. But we love y'all. And as always,
there's
always more purpose. You just have to find yours.
Yes, sir.
Y'all be safe. Love.
Love.